All right, so I gave the last couple of shiurim a general kind of introduction to the issues, some of the issues related to Hilchos Terubos. So I'd like to move now to what I discussed at the beginning of the first siman, the siman Tzadiches. Actually, it talks there about the issue of kfela, of a non-Jew tasting the food. It's kind of a digression. It's a funny way to begin, the way the Beis Yosef points out that, you know, suddenly the Shulchan Aruch or the topic in the tour turns to the issue of kfela at the beginning of Siman Tzadiches, but okay, that's what the Torah does. Beis Yosef says it's kind of a you know, maybe a strange order, but that's what we'll look at this today and tomorrow, Bez Hashem, as you know, as it appears here in Siman Tzadiches in the discussions. And we'll begin with the question in Anaf Aleph, Ne'emanos Hagoy Misech Levitumah. What is the Ne'emanos, the halachic reliability of a goy? You know, Misech Levitumah means he's talking in casual conversation. He doesn't necessarily know that you're sharing this information with him because, or you're discussing this topic because you need to know it for religious reasons and so on. That's called Mesich Lefi Tumo. And the sugya is in Chulin here, on Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says as follows in Source 1, Ravin Baravada Omar, Kilchus. Kilchus is some type of a fish. Rashi explained in Source 2, Kilchus Sheket Dogim Tanim. Some type of non-kosher fish, okay, that gets somehow Kilchus b'ilfus, it gets mixed up in a pot of meat somehow, right? Rashi says b'ilfus shel basar. Somehow these small pieces of non-kosher fish get mixed up in a pot of meat. Okay, could happen. But also shayla Rabbi Yochanan, so they came to ask Rabbi Yochanan what to do. Clearly, and it doesn't say it, but it's talking about a case where obviously there was a rove. Okay, the rove was basar. Okay, the rove was meat. This was all now mixed in together. We discussed last time, again, in the introduction, that we have a principle in last week's Sedra, yesterday's Sedra in Parashat Mishpatim, Achar Rab Lahatos, which teaches us that we follow the rove. Rove works for Bittul. We discussed how that may even work for Yovish B'Yovish, how we say Chad B'Trei Bottel, and according to one sheet, at least the Rosh, that even allows one person to eat all three, that says you have three pieces of hamburgers, something like that. Right, the non-Jewish worker brought his hamburger for lunch, and they put it in the fridge. And you know you had two kosher hamburgers in the fridge. Now you open the fridge, and lo and behold, there are three hamburgers. Now you're not sure which is which. He doesn't know which is which either. So now you have a mixture. It's not a mixture of where there's a blila. It's not a mixture where they're all mixed together like in a soup or in a lach belach mixture. But yavish b'yavish, you have three pieces of meat, three pieces of hamburger. You can't tell them apart. They all look the same. And so therefore, halach is b'daraisa chad b'trei bottle. And then there's a question we discussed last time. Does it mean that the same person can eat all three pieces of meat? That tells us we saw rejected that. He said, how could it be? How could the same person eat all three pieces of meat? One of them is vada not kosher. Okay, so the guy ate all three pieces of meat. So he definitely ate a non-kosher hamburger. No question about it. So Tosfos Vid says, no, you can't do that. You can't have the same person. Three different people. Different people can eat it. Okay, because each one can say, I'm eating the kosher one. That's a din of rov. Nobody vadai ate a non-kosher hamburger. But in the case where one person eats all three hamburgers, so that person vadai ate a non-kosher hamburger. The Rosh Boa that we saw doesn't agree with that. The Rosh Boa says, no, the same person can eat it because we're done on each piece separately. And that's the din of rov. We look at each piece separately. Even the third piece, the FDA two pieces, you can eat the third piece because you'll say that the treifun was the non-kosher hamburger, was one of the ones I ate before. So this one I can eat also. Okay, that's how rov works. And the Rosh goes so far as to say, but the Rosh Boa doesn't allow you to eat them together. Can't eat all three hamburgers together. You can't make what they call it, a triple-decker. You know, put three pieces of hamburger in between the buns and eat that. But the Rosh allows even that. And the Rosh has the lush of nepach esher lios heter, that the dinner rove is it turns into heter. We explained last time with Reb Chaim. Okay, that's the way the rove works. But anyway, we learned also that rove is not necessarily enough. When you have a mixture of min b'sheinam, you know, when there's also a question of tam, a transience of flavor, that changes the circumstances. So here, the case in the Gemara in Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, Ravin Bar Arba Adama Kilchus Bilfus, you had fish and meat, that's not the same flavor, right? That isn't the same flavor. So even though you have roe of meat in this ilfus, in this pot, but still the fish may give off flavors. So that's the question. But also, Shalarev, no, that's to be Yochanan. Ramalahu, Litame, Kfela Aramo. Find a Kfela. Kfela means a non-Jew, right? Aramo, I mean, Kfela doesn't mean non-Jew, but Kfela means a taste tester. Rashi says, Nachtom. Rashi, Litame, Kfela says, Nachtom. Nachtom often means a baker. Here it doesn't mean a baker per se. It means somebody who is a chef, or he's a professionally skilled in food tasting, right? That's his livelihood. That's his business. Okay. He's, knows foods. Okay. if you find the Aramor means, doesn't have to be Aramor, means a non-Jew, like Bol Aramis, doesn't mean only a woman with Aramis, it means any non-Jew, right? Another expression for non-Jew. So litamik, fail Aramor. Let the non-Jew taste it. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Let a non-Jew taste it. Let us know. Again, rove is not enough over here because since it's fish and meat, we're afraid that the meat may have absorbed some of the fish's flavor. And we have a principle, which we'll talk about in the subsequent shiur later in the week, but it's Hashem Tam Kiker. What does Tam Kiker mean? Tam Kiker means that even though there may not be any, and there may not be actual Isser, but as long as they're the flavor of the Isser, Tam Kiker, the flavor of the Isser counts like the Davar Asser itself. So here, you have these small pieces of fish in a mixture of rove meat, but still the fish may have given off flavor. So Rabbi Yochanan said, so find out, Take. Let somebody taste this chant or whatever it is, this stew, and let them tell us if the meat has a fish flavor or not. That's how we'll know. Good. So Amar Arash explains, Nachtam Abikochavim, Ashmina, what's the chiddush? Ashmina, the mutar lismoch alav, says Rashi. The chiddush here is we can rely on him. We can rely on this non-Jew's verdict whether the fish flavor has been absorbed into the meat or not. Lefi tumo, means, like I said, in casual conversation. Says Rashi, below yodiu shetzvichen laladvar isav heter, but don't tell him that we need to know this for halachic religious reasons. We need to know whether we can eat it or not eat it, and so on. You know, keep him, just ask him, what does it taste like? Well, I'm curious, you're an expert food taster, let me know what it tastes like. You're not supposed to let him know that, that we need to know this for religious reasons, because who knows if he's trustworthy, if he's sensitive, and so on and so forth. So just ask him the question, find the professional taste tester who can tell you, and you ask him, what does this food taste like, and let us know. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rava, Merei Shavaka Kashali, Hadatanya. Originally I was bothered by this, the fact that it says in the Braisa, Kedeir Shabishal Babosar, Lo Yavashal Bachola. We talked about that, right? You had a pot of meat. You can't use the same pot that you use for fleshik for milchik. We're not talking about when the meat's in there. That's obvious. But even after you've removed the meat, the pot is clean, but you can't use the same pot. Why? Being Bishal, what if you did by mistake use the same pot? So then it's Benosin Tam. You have to see, did the whatever was cooked in there previously leave over, and the flavor that was in the pot now got absorbed into the other item, into the milk they now put in. Truma, lo yivashal b'chulin. Same thing. You use a pot for truma, don't put chulin in it. Bim bishal b'nosin tam. So Rava said he was always bothered by this because bishlama truma time lakon. How do you know? What do you mean? What do you mean? Bim bishal b'nosin tam. If you did cook in that pot, you have to see whether the flavor is absorbed into the other item. What do you have to see? How can you tell? How are you going to know? Bishlama truma time lakon. With truma is not a problem because I'll find a coin. Okay, ask the Kohen. The Kohen can eat Truma, the Kohen can eat Chulin. So ask the Kohen, did the whatever the Truma item was, the flavor, whatever the Truma item was, did that impact the Chulin item or not? You can ask a Kohen. There's no issue involved because the Kohen can eat it whether it's Truma or Chulin. So it doesn't make a difference whether it's flavor or not flavor. You can eat the whole pot, eat all the food in the pot. So ask the Kohen, then I understand. Ella Basar B'Cholav, Man Toimle. But Rava said, I don't understand. If it's a mixture of Basar B'Cholav, what do you mean taste it and see if the meat flavor was absorbed into the milk? Who's going to taste it? You can't have a Jew taste it. Maybe it's Basar B'Cholav. It's also, how can you taste it? So concludes the Gemara. Hash Domar B'Yochan Samchina Kvel Aramot. Now that we see from this other din, the din we started with, the Kilchis, with this fish in the pot of meat that we can rely on a Kvel Aramot, Machanami, Samchina, Kilarmo, that's the answer to my problem also. Have a non-Jew taste it. Okay, that's the Sugin Chulin, Tzadi Zion Amud Aleph. What's striking or important in terms of Rashi, let's look at that Rashi again, in the second source on Tzadi Zion Amud Aleph, Litame Kvela, Nachtom Oven Kachavim, okay, and, you know, again, a professional food expert, you know, chef of some sort who's sensitive, who knows food, knows tastes, and so on, we rely on him, Lefi Tumo. So Rashi seems to be saying you require two things. Number one, you require a kfela. Dafka is somebody who has some sort of expertise in food and in taste. Okay, we have to have that person. It's not any old non-Jew. You can't just go to your neighbor and ask him, why don't you taste this? According to Rashi, it's dafka kfela. And number two, it has to be mesiach levitumo. It has to be a casual question. Don't let him know that it has something to do with some halachic requirement. That's what emerges from this Rashi. If you look in Tosis, however, on that same page, and Source 3, the Tosis says, even though it's a goy, we don't necessarily rely on a goy for halachic reasons, since this is this guy's profession, okay, since this is this guy's job, Okay, we rely on him because he's not going to want to tell you something. He's not going to lie and tell you, no, there's absolutely no flavor of the fish absorbed into this meat. Now you're going to taste it. You'll see right away that it is. So then you're going to expose this guy. He's a faker. This guy's supposed to be an expert in food taste and in food matters, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. So he doesn't want to jeopardize his chazaka. He doesn't want to lose his reliability as an expert in foods. Okay? He doesn't want to ruin his chazaka, so to speak. All right? So therefore, that's why we ask a kfela, because he's trustworthy. He's going to be sure, because he wants to maintain his reputation as an expert in food, an expert in taste. So he's going to make sure to taste it carefully and tell you exactly what's absorbed. That's why we want to use a kfela. However, notice that Tosus does not say that it has to be mistich l'bitumo. Tosus does not mention that. All Tosus says is it has to be a kfela, because he's not going to lie, lo mishaker, and even not in matter of lying, but he's not going to be sloppy. Okay, he's not going to be, dismissive about it, because he wants to maintain his reputation as an expert food taster. So therefore, Shalyav Sidonos, he won't lose his livelihood, right? Otherwise, the word will get out that this guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's going to use his food, doesn't know how to tell one spice from another, and so on and so forth. So therefore, it's Dafka Kfela, but Tosus mentions nothing Masich Vitumo. Okay, that's an important point to bear in mind. Before we elaborate on that, though, what does Tosus mean that we're going to Afal Gav Dovid Kochavimhu? Okay, what's the problem with the guy? Well, Tosus is bothered. Why should we rely on a Kfela if it's a non-Jew? Okay, we shouldn't be able to rely on him. Who says? So that's a Gemara in, and then again, I have to answer because it's talking about a kfela. Fine. But the working assumption is otherwise we wouldn't rely on this non-Jew. So there is a Gemara in Baba Kama on Daf Kuf Yud Dalad Amud Beis. Amar of Ashi, Ein Mesiach Tumo Kosher El Eidus Isha Bilvad. The Gemara states that a non-Jew, okay, and anybody else's, anyone else's Pasala Eidus, okay, and other people are Pasul Eidus, we accept their testimony regarding Eidus Isha only. Eidus Isha is basically to free an Aguna, okay, to let an Aguna remarry. What is an Aguna? Meaning, well, today the term Aguna has somehow taken on, not somehow, we understand it, related. Today the average person understands what Aguna, the word Aguna means she's chained to her husband. Usually the way people understand Aguna nowadays is that you have a woman whose husband refuses to give her a get. Right? That's the classic case of Aguna today. Unfortunately, there are men who want to get divorced, and then they want to extort their wives, okay, and they figure, their wife's family, and they say, okay, I'll give you a get for $1 million, okay, and so otherwise I'm not going to give you a get. Now she's stuck, she can't remarry. Okay, right, that he can't remarry either because the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, but maybe he doesn't want to get remarried. Or he'll figure out the Heter Berabana, whatever, all kinds of nonsense goes on today. There are all kinds of organizations. I think the organization Yeshiva, no, Ora, it still exists. I don't know. There was, the guys from YU, started by guys from YU, maybe.
I believe it still exists.
Yeah, still exists. I think it stands for Organization for the something relief for Aguna.
Resolution
of Aguna. Yeah. So anyway, that's what Aguna is today. A woman whose husband unfortunately refuses to give her a get. And you can't do anything about it in America. You can't throw the guy in jail because we have separation of church and state. So what can we do? It's a religious matter. So we can place the communal pressure on him, tell people not to shop in the store, and then let them throw him out of the shul and don't give an aliyah, whatever else. But if a guy's willing to tolerate that, then there are such people. In Eretz Yisrael, they sometimes put the guy in jail. So the guy is sitting in jail. Doesn't mind. Okay? Crazy people. Anyway, but the classic case of Aguna in the Gemara is not that. The classic case of Aguna, the sugya is in the end of Maseches Yevamos, is a different discussion altogether. Talking about a woman who shehalach b'ayla l'medina sayam, the husband went overseas and he disappeared. We don't know what became of him. And see, in the modern contemporary case, most of the time we know exactly where the husband is. We know where he is. He just refuses to give a get. We can find him. That's not the problem. But in the classic case of the Gemara's Aguna case, is that the husband that traveled overseas and then he didn't come back, and we don't know what became of him. Maybe he got killed overseas. Maybe his boat capsized. He drowned. Whatever happened, we have no idea. Now, these were shilas that came up after after September 11th, after the World Trade Center. They were Orthodox Jews. Obviously, were going to work. They went to work and then never came home. But do we have evidence that they were, maybe the guy used an excuse? Right? He never made it to the World Trade Center, but he decided he wanted to run off to the Bahamas someplace, so maybe still alive. Okay, so how do we figure out all kinds of, you know, there was Sfarim written, there were all the major poskim, both in the United States and Eretz Yisrael, were called in to deal with this case of a handful of women. Actually, my shul in Teaneck is called the Zichron Mordechai. That's the name of my shul. It was named for the one Orthodox person from the Bergen County community who died in the World Trade Center. It was a young fellow. He actually learned at YU and went to Mar Shakola, a fellow by the name of Mordechai or Mark Rosenberg, Rav Shalom. He was just a young fellow, just joined the shul, just had recently gotten married and came to our shul, and from West Orange, New Jersey, Mark Rosenberg. And he worked in the World Trade Center, and Nebuchadnezzar was killed there. His wife, I think, were married for a short time, a couple of months, I think. They recently gotten married. They recently moved into the apartments in Teaneck. Okay, so anyway, she was ultimately given a heter and son. She moved away. Anyway, but they decided to name the shul. Our shul was a relatively new shul, just putting up a new building. So they named the building after him, Zichron Mordechai. But anyway, these were cases that come up. I once saw a bunch of years ago when they were, you know, you guys know what a CD is, right? We don't have them anymore. But so I got a CD with a collection of tshuvas from American Rabbanim in the first half of the 20th century, from different communities all over America. Not well known, not at least not to me, not famous people. But there were Rabbanim, and many of them, they were trained in Europe, and they came to America, some Big Tamil Chachamim also. So there was a tshuva about Agunas from the Titanic. Because there were Jews on the Titanic, also on the Titanic sunk. And then, you know, again, the same problem. So that's the classic case of Aguna. Anyway, in rabbinic literature, coming back to the Gemara, and the Kufiyu Dalam Reis, source number four, that's called Edus Isha. Edus concerning a woman. Okay? Like Rashi says, look there in source five, Kufiyu Dalam Reis, Rashi says, Edus Isha, Shomam and Hatinokos, Shiru Omer, Harayon, Hochem, Lispo, Relikpo, Ish Ploni. Right, they heard from Tinokas, means doesn't have to mean infants, but it means under Baron Basmith. Oh, we went to the funeral of so and so. Okay, a kid says it. Usually, a kid's Edus is under the, you know, we don't accept Edus from a child. But here, Edus Isha, we're lenient with regards to the matter of Aguna to let this woman remarry on the assumption indeed her husband has passed away. So now she's an Alma, so she can't marry a Kohen, but she can marry Kohen, I mean, but she can marry anybody else. So she's considered to be free and so on. So we accept. But getting back to the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi Ein Mesiach Litumah Kosh El Edus Isha Bilvat. Okay, that's the only time we accept Mesiach Litumah. So that's a problem by us, because according to Rashi, we accept Mesiach Litumah by the case of Issa Heter also. And then the Gemara asks some other questions. Amar Levin Rav Ashi, below Avar Nachil Shel Dvorim, had a swarm of bees, okay, that got out and then attacked and so on, hurt somebody and so on, and unclear exactly who owned the bees and where they came from. So someone's Mesiach Litumah, we accepted it. Okay? All right, Shana Nichol Dushal Dvarim, the Kinder Rabbananu. That was a Rabbanan case. So with Rabbanan, then we can rely on Mesiach Litumah. The Gemara said, the Raisa Lo, Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Maisa Ba'arvecha, Shara Mesiach Litumah, Ba'omer Zuchrani, Kashani Tinok, Umurkavani Al Ksefer Shal Abba, Rotsiunim Beis HaSefer, Vishitune Eskutanti, Vekbiluni Lecho B'Trumah La'erev, right? Can we rely on this person's testimony, what happened to him when he was a kid, and so on, that he ate truma? He said he remembers his father taking him and bringing him to the mikveh, because Rashi explains kids play with all kinds of bugs and whatever else, and maybe came Tomei. Okay, so he became Tomei, and Rab Chanina Messiah Bo, Hachi Bechavare Bedil Mimani, and no one would touch me and say after I went through this, Ayukarin Osi Yochanan Ochel Chalos. And they used to call me Yochanan who eats challah, like from Farshas challah, when they gave the challah to the Kohen. Rabbi said, okay, we believe him. He's a Kohen. All right. So Mor says, no, it was only for Truma. Hele Kohen for what do you call it? For eating Truma? No, that was only told by Truma Drabonin. Rashi explains, Truma Drabonin Bismanazeh. Okay, Rabbi holds after the Churban, Truma Bismanazeh is only Drabonin. And that's because low kid shall also love. That whole Shaila may relate to Shemitah, the Rabbanan, and no Yovel, and so on. The Rambam says all these dinim don't apply to Raisa today, because there's no Yovel. Okay, anyway, that's a Rabbanan case. All right. Makati de Raisa Gemara is another case. Whatever, okay, whoever it was, Maisa Bolif Nimishim Levi, Ramallah Maisa Bolif Nim Rebbe, Betinok Echa Shemisil, Tumor Ani, Vimi Nishbino Levein Akum. Okay, that he was kidnapped together with his mother, and the question was she now considered to be violated, and so on and so forth. Okay, and also in that sense, also Rebbe said it was kosher l'kahuna, and so on. Okay, and there's an issa d'oraisa. If she was violated, so it's a zona. right? The zona doesn't only mean a prostitute, but isha chalal v'zona le'kachol. So a kohen can't, a woman who had relations, even if it was, not willingly and so on, but she's also to a surah to a kohen. And Rabbi said, no, that based on the testimony of this kid, we were lenient. So Gemara answered, b'shru hekilu. Okay, you can read the Gemara, okay? Because it's only a suffix, Rashi explains, we don't know for a fact that, just because she was kidnapped doesn't mean she was violated. All right, but what emerges in that Gemara is that generally speaking, a non-Jew, right, who's not kosher la'edus, is not believed. We don't accept his testimony, even Mesiach Levitumo. All those cases in that Gemara were cases of Mesiach Levitumo. Okay, and the Gemara says, yeah, all those cases of Taka exceptions, Rabbanan, it was a case of Shvuya, whatever the exception technically was, whatever the exception technically was. So in those particular cases, in that Gemara, we believe the testimony of the person who's Pasul Eidos, we believe him when it's Mesiach Levitumo. But ordinarily, but that's again, those are exceptional cases. It was the case of the Rabbanan, it was the case of a Shvuya, it was only a Suffolk, whatever, the Gemara gets out of it each time. But ultimately, the Gemara concludes that Rav Ashi's statement at the beginning of the part that we quoted again, this is Baba Kama Kuf Yudal Mabez. Rav Ashi's right. Amar Rav Ashi, Eim Mesiach Levitumo Kosher, Lay this Isha, Bavad. So how do we, coming back to our case, how do we rely on a kfela over here? How do we rely on the kfela over here? So again, so Tosus said, I'm not saying that was, Tosus doesn't quote this Gemara. We look back in three. Tosus and Chulin said, that's what probably in the back of Tosus' mind. He said, Afal Gav, Dovid Kochavim Hu, right? Even though this is the Goy, and they're generally speaking, not acceptable for Eidus purposes. Okay, and again, I don't think it means because we're concerned that the Goy is definitely going to lie. Again, but in our halachic system, we have rules of people who are kosher leidus and pasul leidus. So even if he won't lie, he may not be sensitive to our needs and it doesn't care as much or whatever. Okay, so Tosa, how could it be? So the answer is, oh no, because of kfela, that's why. It's a special situation. We'll accept him because of kfela. It's a question of kfela. Because there, the guy wants to maintain his reputation. That's why it's different. But again, Tosa doesn't quote this Gemara, but that may be in the back of Tosa's head. This is Gemara Baba Kama Daf Kuf Yudal. The Trumas Hadeshen, source number six, the Trumas Hadeshen in Simon Ayin Tes, okay, deals with this question. And he does quote this Gemara. All right, he's really asked the following question, six. Kanu Beit Simon Anochri, bought eggs from a non-Jew, and was Yontav Shechol Yosachar Shabbos. So you remember the sugi at the beginning of Maseches Beitz, right? Beitz is no to be yontif. Okay, so we're not allowed to, again, the yontif that comes right after Shabbos, and the assumption is that the Beitz was completed on Shabbos, and not allowed to have the problem of Hachana. Again, the first sugi in Maseches Beitz. So generally speaking, you can't eat such an egg, but the Goy says, Hanochri hay Maseich Levitumo, Shenodu Kodem Beitz or Gimliom. He said, no, these eggs are from already last week. Okay, you bought the eggs today. Okay, you got the eggs today. And it was Yontif Shechol Yosachar Shabbos. So generally speaking, you're not allowed to eat such an egg if it was laid on, it was just laid. However, the guy tells you, no, these eggs I've had in the store the last couple of days. They're from last week, from Wednesday. All right. We will can you let that? Only question for eating it that day. Even if it was born based on Yontif, you can eat it after Yontif. That's not the problem. Can you eat it today? So the question is, can you rely on the guy who is saying that these eggs are a couple of days old? So the Truma Sadeshan writes, Truma, Yerua Delo Sharinilu, Velo Samchinat Vav Shal Nachri Ki Agavna, Afilu Mesiach Levitumo. No, we shouldn't. We can't rely, even if the guy is Mesiach Levitumo. You didn't tell him you need to know for religious reasons when these eggs came. It was just dumb talking, a casual conversation. He said these eggs were a couple of days ago. The Chashinan Dilma Noldu Yomtev Avavi Asum, the Raisa. Okay, that's a question, but that's what we're assuming right now. It's also Doraisa, okay, because maybe they were born on Yontif. Ho, v'achar Shabbos, unitam achana, the whole sugi over there. That's the quotes, the riff and Beitz and so on. And but more important for us, in the third line there of the tshuva, u'v'isser Doraisa lo samchina nochem esich v'tumah. The tshuva Sadeshin says, when we're dealing with the Doraisa, we cannot rely on a goy, even if he's mesich v'tumah. Based on that Gemara that we just saw, on Baba Kama Kufi Dal Reis, they misich vitumo kosher. Alabei this isha v'shuya dakile barabbanon. Only and v'sharmi ledrabbanon. We're only makel by this isha and by a handful of other cases, including a handful of other circumstances, like if it's a din drabbanon or if it's a shuya and so on. Below be sura daraisa, but not by sura daraisa. Okay, now, He quotes a Mordechai over there in the beginning of Beitza. He says that we can rely on the goy that the eggs were laid beforehand. But he said that the questions about that, and again, that's a beitza sugya. So it might be a different situation for other reasons. Avol. He said it was that might be the Rabbanim case. If we assume why it's also to have the eggs in the first place, okay. Anyway, so that's a Trumas HaDeshen regarding the egg situation. But more relevant to us is on the second line of the next page. Im Tizon source six. Im Tomar Hodam Minan Per Gilan Asher. What about our Gemara Chulin Daf Tzadi Zayin? The Min B'Sheina Mino Amar Rabbanim Litom Kfeila. Our Gemara with the fish, the small piece of non-kosher fish, it got mixed in the pot of meat, where we said we rely on the kfeila. Upirish Rashi, the samchira like kfeila, dafka misilch v'tumo, right? The dafka misilch v'tumo, they modim lo shetzrichem liton also b'shul isha v'heter. It's not because of isha v'heter, okay? So what's going on exactly? So that's what the truth is. Why in our Gemara we do rely on the goyim misilch v'tumo? He says, yesh lomar the kfeila shiny. No, that's the point. The emphasis is that it's a din in kfeila. Kfeila is different. Why? This is this guy's profession. All right? He's a professional taste tester. He doesn't want to ruin his chazokah, his reputation, and so on. And therefore, we're not going to suspect maybe he's lying, or olo diak, or he's not being so careful, he's not being so precise. You want to get rid of his, yeah, it tastes like it, or it doesn't taste, I don't know. Right? He blood brushed you off. He said, nah, it tastes fine. You know, it tastes only like meat, not like fish or whatever. We're not concerned about that with a kfeila because he wants to maintain his reputation. Okay, now, the maskonas harosh, he also writes maskonas harosh, like Rashi, we'll see the rosh, the bein and tarti. You need both. Kfeila uman, vishahu mesich lefitumo. Has to be an uman, you know, again, a professional taste test, professional chef, okay, and it has to be mesich lefitumo. Udolo kirash bo desover dechol chad mahani. Rashba, we'll see it inside shortly, Rashba disagrees. Rashba says it's either or, okay? Either one. Mesich levitumo afilo eino kfeila. Can be any guy, even a non-expert, as long as he's mesich levitumo. He's not asking the religious reasons and so on. He's just answering a casual conversation, okay? Or kfeila, afilo modin lo shetzichem letimos v'shalisim heter. If the kfeila, even if you tell him why you need it, doesn't have to be mesich levitumo, because again, the kfeila won't want to ruin his reputation. Okay. Okay, why should we rely on Mesich Levitumo even if he's not Nemo? Back to our question before. Like the Gemara Baba Kama said, we don't rely on Mesich Levitumo. How could Rashba possibly say that we can rely on any guy, Mesich Levitumo, even if he's not a Kfeila, because of Mesich Levitumo? What do you mean? What about the Gemara Baba Kama? Same question before. No, be Shlomo the Sover Kirashi the Tam Kikad Rabbanan. Remember, we're not talking about the actual issue here. We're talking about the question whether the flavor was impacted, and that's a din Rabbanan. If you assume Tam Kikad Rabbanan, well, Chach Samchel Rabbanan Simchel Rabbanan Oman. Aval Hei Chadika Sveka Derais. Hello, that's the Trumas HaDeshen. Okay, as the Trumas HaDeshen noted, the Rosh, I printed the Rosh here in Source 7, the Rosh here in Chulin Perek Zayin Siman Chof Hei quotes the Gemara. Rabba Bar of Adda with the case that it says here kilvis, which was here kilchis, type of fish and so on. Pirish nachtom obit kachavim. Okay, again, an expert cook, an expert chef. Shaminan mina de mutarm lismachal of lafi tumo. We can rely on this expert chef, lafi tumo. You need both, that the guy is a kfeila and it's specifically tumo. Below yodu shutzarach lo ledvari sivahatr. And now don't tell him it's a dvari sivahatr. And that's like Rashi and so on. So the Rosh agrees. But as the Trumas HaDeshen mentioned, the Rashba does not. We look in Source 8, the Chiddush HaRashba, and that Daf and Chulin, Sarizan, and Alav, Dimasla, Omar Rava, Source number 8, says, remember Rava said, we had this the other day, Omar Rava, Omar Rabbanan B'tayma, Rabbanan Mekfeil, Rabbanan Meshisha. Remember, Rava said, I already quoted that Rava earlier, right, that Rava says there are three different times where the Chachamim say different things. Sometimes you have to rely on flavor. You have to determine whether it's flavor. Sometimes you rely on a kfeila. Sometimes we say shishim. Okay, so it says the Rashboa, nirav in the kamechalek tamo kfeila l'shnayim. Tama, right, ascertaining the flavor. And kfeila were two different things. Okay, were two different things. So it's mashma, it's two separate realms. Okay, determining the flavor and kfeila. Okay, meaning you can determine the flavor even without the kfeila. That's the suggestion. Furthermore, the Komar Namelitame Kohen Mashma de Lobin and Kfela Klal. Remember the other case? The case with the Truma and the Chulin. Right, Truma and Chulin, we said, Rabbi said, no problem. No problem with, again, some Truma food got mixed up with some Chulin food. I mean, we want to know, did the Truma flavor impact the Chulin? In which case, if it did, so a non-Kohen can't eat it because now it's, you know, it has a Truma Tom in it. And we say Tom Kikur. So that we can ascertain easily. Find a Kohen who could eat it in either case. Does it say that it has to be a coin who's a kvela, a coin who's an expert food tester? No. It doesn't have to be. Any coin will do. Right? That's what the Rashbo points out. Shaminan, Mashma, the lo binan kvela klal, el kol tam, she'eno nirgash lichlal atamim. If the flavor is not noticeable, it's not discernible to the average person, okay, ain't on tam, that then that's not flavor, ain't choshen lo. So why did Tobai bring up kvela? The low amru kfeila mishum de chashin and dilma nochri mishaker. Aval kfeila lo meira nafshe. No, the only reason kfeila was brought into the mix because now maybe the guy will lie or he won't be so precise, but a kfeila will be. But below mishum de bein and kfeila klau bimkenu afilu b'shoshon also v'yodea shel os isuv het to sholin also some kind of love. If it is a kfeila though, if it's a regular guy, so the mesiach v'tumo you can just ask him casually and he'll tell you the truth. We can rely on that. But if it's a kvela, you can even tell him that you need to know this for religious reasons. Well, I mean, because again, he's not going to mess up his reputation. V'lo bina mesich v'tumo, don mishum don merenaf she keni reli. But Rashi's alo ken pirish. Okay, so Rashi doesn't hold like that. But according to the Rashba, you could even argue adarabba. If it's just a matter of flavor, okay, excuse me, if it's just a matter of flavor, you should be able to lie on any guy. He doesn't know why you're asking. He says, no chashash, he's going to not tell the truth, and he's going to, you know, want to stick it to the Jews for religious reasons and so on. You just ask him generally what this flavor is. Adarabba, you know, it may be better not to have a kfela, because a kfela, you know, an expert, he may be especially sensitive, okay? He may be especially, you know, in tune with flavors, but to the average person, you can't tell the flavor. You know, this guy is an expert. He can taste soup. He can tell you, this is in here, this spice in it. There are people like that, right? They can tell you, I'm not one of them, okay? But there are people who can tell you, they taste them and tell exactly what the different spices were put in, right, with reasonable accuracy. So certainly a guy who's an expert chef, he knows flavors. So there, the average person would not be able to taste it, all right? So Dafka, if we want to know whether there's Tom, you could argue, and that may be what the Rashba is saying, you could argue it should Dafka be something that everyone would taste. Right, look at the second line of 8. Kol tam she'enu nirgash lichlal hatamim. The average, you know, it's something that's discernible to the average person. If it's not, and just this guy, because of his expertise, can tell you, oh yeah, there's a little tinge. You ever see sometimes, I never really understood it. I think I mentioned this once before. And I'm not a drinker. But, you know, and sometimes in a certain very good scotch or whiskey, they have on the back a little bit about the history of this. This grew in such and such a year, the barley, and it was near a strawberry field, so it has a tinge of flavor. You ever see that in the back of a, right? I'm talking about, right? I'm not a scotch drinker, not at all. But it tells you, and I was
about the caskets group, also.
Right, with the casket, that's all Shiloh with the sherry casks. But it tells you where it grew, so it also absorbed some of the flavor from the basic nectar or the strawberry. And is that a good thing or not a good thing? You want that in your schnapps? And I don't know. Okay, but the experts know. Anyway, that's, I wouldn't be able to taste it, that's for sure. But the experts can taste. Okay, so therefore, one could argue Dafka wants Tom a person. Okay, not an expert, only an expert. All right, and that's why, again, like with the case of the Kohen. The Kohen doesn't say that, so the Rashba points out. The case of the Kohen eating a mixture of Truma Kohen, that's not an expert food taster. Yeah.
According to the Rashba, either, I mean, the only reason you need a kfela is to eliminate the issue of lying. I mean, that, so he would hold that you need.
Yeah, if you have a kfela, then you can even tell him that you're doing it.
I'm saying, so he holds that a regular guy, we see if he's too much, okay?
That's what the Rashba says, yeah. That's what it looks like. Okay. You know, the only thing is, but a regular guy, we see if he's too much. Is okay because you don't have to suspect that there's any problem. I remember just.
It might even be better because the.
That's what I was suggesting. Maybe better because. Right. Okay, look at the bias aura. Before we get to that, I just want to mention, I once had a question. A fellow actually asked me, he's a dentist in my shul. And, you know, dentists are used to looking at very, very small things that have to be shaped a particular way, I guess, to put in the filling, right? They're very used to, their eyes are very trained, you know, to make sure that's exactly going to fit in the filling. So this person was telling me he has a trained eye, he's been a dentist many years, and he can see that his filling is not really, you know, not really pointed, not really, you can see it. So I looked at it and I couldn't really see it. And I thank God I have good eyesight. I don't wear glasses or contacts on it, Baruch Hashem. But I really wasn't able to see it the way he was. You know, like sometimes you don't have to be able to see it with a magnifying glass. I know that around Sukkot's time, they always have pictures, you know, or some people having a sukkah. I'm not making fun. I have it hanging my sukkah too. They, you ever see these sukkahs montage pictures of all these different scenes from Yerushalayim, you know, people buying hadassim and this guy's waving the love. And always have some guy looking at an esrog with a magnifying glass, right? I mean, okay, there's no need to. Okay, there's no din. You have to look at a magnifying. You can't see the, you know, this is the spot. It's not a problem. Okay, you look at it with the naked eye. You don't need a magnifying glass. But anyway.
Wouldn't it be die when it comes to esrog maybe to determine whether it's chaser or not?
I don't think you have. We assume that if you know what you're doing, okay. If you know, but I'm saying we assume you don't have to look at every, you know, even to assume that it's chaser. You have to assume that it's chaser if you don't have any evidence of naked eye. But anyway, we talk about that a different time. But my, you know, my point is, remind me of a person who was once a Talmud of mine. Later was a Talmud in YU. So years, many years ago, Rav Shechter Shlita was in Eretz Yisrael for Yom Kippur and Sukkot, something like that. So this person saw him and he asked, Rebbe, when are you going to pick your esrog? Can I come along? You know, and so Rosh Hashanah said, okay. You know, okay. So, you know, Rosh Hashanah came to where, I guess, the shuk in Meir Shom, wherever he was, and he was there for, I picked him. Well, this one looks good. The whole thing was 10 minutes. You know, he wasn't going to spend an hour and a half there. You know, I got to go back to learn. You know, I wasn't expecting an hour and a half inspecting, you know, 45 different esrogs. This one looks good. Anyway, that's what the guy told me. Anyway, be that as it may, this guy was a filling.
That's filling point.
I said he was able to see. Okay.
Can you assume a sofer would also have that expertise?
I'm not sure because sofer, right.
That's his whole job.
If you looked at the sharpness of the filling.
Or a batamacher, whoever it is.
A batamacher, maybe, yeah.
So, I think whoever's going to check it anyway has that expertise, no?
Right. If you're going
to. That's why you're bringing it.
I hear what you're saying. But again, the point, yes. But you can sharp. But this person was asking me, must he take it to an expert? Okay, he could see it. Okay. But the average person, I didn't think it was necessary. Yes, Rosh Hashanah, they also agreed. I think when that goes by the average person, can you see it? All right. If he sees it, he might want to take it to sharp. Nothing wrong with getting sharp. I didn't think he had to do it right away before putting it on. Anyway, that's the idea over there. Yeah.
I just want to say, even a batamacher, like he has an expertly trained eye, but he also knows what's not a problem.
Right, exactly.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the batamacher
is not a problem, the average person. This guy, he wasn't a batamacher. Regular balabos is a dentist. He's able to tell. Right, anyway, you're looking at bias or bias dalat shar aleph, you know, the Rosh Hashanah says more or less the same thing, right? Like he says in the Chedushim, quotes the Gemara, he says, Samchin and Kvel Aramo, and so on. Alma, look at the third line. It says all more clearly. Alma midikamar time like coin. Below kamar tama coin kfeila. Mashma the low boy kfeila klal. Elakol tam she eno nirgosh lechol hatomim eno tam ben choshen lo. So there he says it in the forest, right? It doesn't say it has to be a coin who's a kfeila. It says any tam, which the average person wouldn't be able to taste. That's not a tam. Oh, and furthermore, he quotes in the reverse order in which he quoted in the Kedushim, and he quotes the other Gemara, Rava, and the Rabbanan say sometimes Taimah, sometimes Kvela, sometimes Shishim, and so on. And he writes, "Me the Mechalik Taimah Kvela Lishnayim Shma Mina Haynu Tam Nirgos L'Chol B'Nei Adam." Right? I didn't mention Kvela. Tam is separate from Kvela. Tam is the average person tastes. V'lo Amu Kvela Amar Mishum Dilma Nachri Da Alma Meshaker. A regular guy who knows you're doing it for religious reasons may want, at least in those days, whether that's true today or not, I can argue. But in those days, you know, the Jews and non-Jews didn't get along as well. They want to stick it to the Jews for religion reasons and so on. So maybe we're phrasing a lie. I will kfeil lo merenaf. She doesn't want to ruin his reputation. The kevan shekein ikfeilahu afilu sholem osob yodeh shenis leheter. Okay? Sholem osob somchen alav. If it's a kfela, even if you tell him that you're looking for religious reasons, you can believe him because he doesn't want to ruin his reputation. Below being a mesich vitumo, the halo merenafshi. But for mesich vitumo, afilu shar b'nei adam. There's a motion there. He says it clearly, right? If it's mesich vitumo, even shar b'nei adam, even not a kfela. At the end of the bias ha'orach, the Rashi does write, v'yesh machmirin, and that's Rashi in the Rosh, v'yesh machmirin, de lo samchir ala kfela emphasis on the verb, right? And he says, at the end, the Rashba does, you know, mention the sheet of the Rash of Rashi and the Rashba. I'm sorry, Rashi and the Rosh, who say that you need both a kfeila and mesila. Even though he doesn't agree with it, and he proves not like that, but he does says yesh lachos l'divrayim. Okay, the side point I printed in source 10, the Rosh Yosef from the Prima Godim, right? We mentioned in the past the Prima Godim on Sugas and Shas and Chulin, and not Daf and Chulin, Tzadi Zanim and Aleph. Okay. It's not necessarily the case. It quotes Rashi and so on, or he's both and so on. And the second line, Mashma Dafka b'Mesich V'Tumah Hu D'Neman. Okay, but he writes, we're not necessarily concerned that so much of a guy is going to lie, right? But rather that he's not going to be precise. That he's not going to, you know, what do you bother? Oh, it tastes like this, you know. You're not going to care so much, right? Rashi, the Pergunim writes on the third line, Hu de goy acher eno mavkin kol kachatam v'shem yesh bo tam v'eno margish. Can you taste this to me? He takes a quick taste. Oh, it tastes like that. You know, he may not be so precise. And we have to be v'lachach dafka kfeila. That's why we want a kfeila who's by definition going to be precise. And that's what the Prima Godim is saying. That it's not so much that we're afraid that the regular goy is going to lie, okay? But rather that he's not going to be so medactic in it and so on, all right? Because mishum de'uma lo mishai, he won't. He'll be very precise, okay? Now he says, okay, the average person can, you know, can taste it, but again, we're afraid he's not going to be so precise. At the end, he writes, okay, according to Rashi, it would come out that even though it didn't say it in the Gemara, since Rashi requires both kfeila and mesich v'tumo, so then the lechora logic would dictate that with the Kohen, it also has to be someone with some expertise in taste. I don't know if everyone agrees with that, but that's what he says, that maybe even the case, that was the Rashba's whole objection. That Rashba says, what do you mean by the case of the Kohen eating a mixture maybe of Truman Chulin and determining whether there's transcends of flavor, it doesn't say it has to be a kfeila, but according to Rashi, maybe it would. All right. Other reasons how we can rely on the kfeila. So again, I know we didn't read the Shulchan, but the Taz here in our Sim and Sadi Ches and Cotton Bays, long Taz, I printed part of it. Yatimena over kochavim. That's what it says Shulchan Aruch, right? You have the kfeila. We'll see the Shulchan Aruch inside, but I'm more straight out in the Taz. He says nearly the Ashbova Rash Sirlei. He refers to that Gemara in Hagozel, right? The Gemara of a Kamatav Daf Kuf Yudal that we saw before. Okay, the Ein Mesich V'Tumen Eman B'Mila Doraisa. He says as follows: what about that Gemara that it's not the, you know, we don't rely on a when it's a Doraisa. And remember, all those cases in the Gemara there, we rely on someone who's Pasala Eidas as Mesich, if he's Mesich V'Tumo, we don't rely on him. And the Gemara says, aye, these cases we do. Oh, those were all exceptions. Only Drabbanan was a case of a Shruya, which was a Suffolk. So it weighs out. Says the Taz, you can resolve the problem a different way. You can say that that Gemara, which says we don't rely, the Ein Mesich V'Tumo Neman B'Mila Doraisa, okay, Hainu B'Midi Debo Eidos Dafke. Those are in cases where you need edus. You need edus, usually for all those cases mentioned at Gemara, right, about a woman whether she was violated or the edus isha, or, you know, letting the coin, you know, establishing whether the guy is a coin or not and so on. All those are cases where you need edus, where you need actual testimony. When you need testimony, then takke, we don't rely on some mesich v'tumo. Masha eno kein be'isser v'heter shaper mahani. The bezel lo bein an edus gemura. Be'isser v'heter, we're just trying to clarify fact. It's clarify the metzias. We're not. It's not a din of edus. I mean, right? As the Taz writes, what we need is ela be'im yeshon hochacha. We just want to clarify some kind of proof to metzias. Why do you need two Eidim? You don't need two Eidim. So if I have supper tonight, you know, so I have to ask my wife, I need two Eidim that saw you buy this meat in the kosher store. Okay? Eidim b'surin. And you don't have to, all the dinim of psule Eidim don't apply. Okay? Women's accept the Eidim b'surin, right? It's going to begin with getting, right? So, imkein hachanami, says the Taz. Okay? But mesich v'tumo, we rely on mesich v'tumo. The mizeh yesh on the source she ain't shom iser v'sagi b'zeh. All right. V'haraya she kfeila mahani afilu be'edim iser b'zeh v'mitam de lo merachas koso. U'midi be'in edus v'ada lo mahani dover kazeh. Okay. we wouldn't rely in an Eidus case on a guy, oh, but he's an expert. We don't, you know, in American law, sometimes they'll call, you know, to the witness stand, an expert witness. You hear about that, an expert witness. This guy knows about cars. He knows about, you know, accidents or whatever they call an expert witness. Okay, but in halacha, you have to have two edim. We're not going to rely, oh, but this guy's an expert witness. Therefore, in a case of edus and bezim, we're going to rely on him as if it were two edim. We don't have such a concept. So that's what he's saying. Okay, yet here, we'll rely on a kfeila because he's an expert. He doesn't want to ruin his reputation. So we'll rely on him. What do you mean? In a case, says the Taz, we need actual edus. We wouldn't rely on an expert that, oh, he wouldn't want to ruin his reputation. Yeah.
So what's the Taz calling this, if not Eidus Mvara Safik?
I mean, he doesn't use a term that I see, but he uses Hochocha, right? That he says, Yeson Hochocha Sagi.
It's almost like giving like a opinion. Kind
of. A clarification of Mitzias. So that's why I presented it, right? It's not Eidus in the classic sense. All right, again, Eirechan and Bisurin, or the fact that we believe a Kfeila altogether, when we wouldn't believe a Kfeila in a court case. Again, in an American court, they do have something as an expert witness, and he carries more weight. But we don't follow such a thing. El al korchoch, the bisurin lo tzori rak hochocho. Right, some kind of proof. However, he writes about the inyan halachic par posik betur, Shulchan Aruch was elsewhere regarding bechor, whether, you know, which animal came from which, if this was a bechor. Lo mahani, misich b'tumah, and so on. All right, anyway, but that's a point that the Taz brings up. The Shach, here in our siman also in Tzadiches in source 12, Simchat and Beis, the Shach also has other reasons why we can not, as we ask, well, how is this Gemara different than the sugya? How is our sugya in Chulin Tzadi Zayin relying on a kvela and relying on misich b'tumah? How is it different than the Gemara and Baba Kama? So now we have a few different approaches. The Shach quotes the Gemara basically, Yesh, Shari wrote some Tarits, the Hod Armina Bar Gozel, that Gemara and Gozel and Baba Kama, ain't over Kovim Sikutuma Neman Bishar Dorm, Haino Hecha de Schazik Isura. Okay, Schazik Isura means we know that there's an Isser in the mix, so we're trying to be Materit. Okay, we know that something is Isser, and now we're trying to say, was it, again, a woman was married, and again, that's the sugi of Ischazik Isura, the beginning of getting. Now we know she was married. Now the question is, was there a valid get or not, right? We're trying to ascertain that kind of situation, right? As a goy is not Neman against Ischazik Isura, all right? But if there's no Ischazik Isura, there's no Vadai Isur, like in our case, a Suffolk, we don't know. The taste, we don't know there was Vadai flavor here. Okay, that's exactly what we're trying to determine. So when there's not Ischazik Isura, so then we can rely on the goy mesich bitumo. I the gemar b'kamei gemar b'kamei all those cases where was chazik yisur. Okay, de lo yadina hocha mashenu ken hocha de lo yadina the yesh batam klal. We don't know, is there flavor? There's no badai yisur here. That's the one thing that the shach mentions. He doesn't like that teretz. He says with dochuk. Okay, and he raises questions and even the case of the shvuya and that gemar was also a suffek. It wasn't his chazik yisur. So he doesn't love that answer. But then at the end, he gives a different teretz. Okay, yes, Akashas, you can read through it. Okay, but then he says, a different answer. He says, in general, Bialma, okay, when you have he doesn't use this terminology, but a milsa davida legluye. Milsa davida legluye means you're going to ultimately find out the metzias yourself. It'll eventually become clear yourself. So then a goy is neman, mesir vitumo, because you're going to taste it. So you'll know, did he tell the truth or not? Ultimately, it's milsa davidi legluye. That's kind of what the shach is. He doesn't use that terminology. But he says, dafka hecha de lekam le mekam ala de milsa. You can't substantiate what he said. Then ain't overcome mesir vitumon, then mesir vitumon neman bisu Torah. Amin mishen amino. Came in the ikon of make of the milsa of the kfeila samchinelo. Then we can, you know, you'll taste it yourself. You can rely on him. Yeah.
But then it's too late. That's the whole point, no?
No, I understand. But you're right.
Who cares about the bira suffik after it's already too late?
So you could argue that he doesn't know that. In other words, he doesn't know that at that point. You can rely on the guy because he's not going to tell you something that in 2 seconds you can find out if it's true or it's not true. He doesn't know why you're asking.
That has nothing to do with the fact that I'm going to then know. It just has to do with the fact that he doesn't. I mean, how does that factor?
Just explaining why we can rely upon him. We can rely upon him because he is not going to be sloppy or dishonest about something where he knows you're going to find out right in a few minutes anyways. Right? He doesn't know that you're
so,
not going to be
able to. So he's saying combined with the fact that it's Messiah Levitumo and that being that he has no suspicion of anything and he knows you're going to find out in a second.
Right. That, I think that's a shock saying. But that's what Messiah Levitumo means. It means he doesn't know you're asking for religious reasons. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't know. All right, the Bir Agro says it maybe a little more clearly. The Bir Agro here in Sadi Chesed, Kotten Beis 13. You had Avogav de Gemara Amru Kfela Dafka Hainash Emes Gazun Venemishum de Umelomer Navshe and so on. Av Mesich Vituma Neman Kol Ovid Kochavim. He says, but Mesich Vituma, any guy is acceptable. Okay, and even though the Gemara Babakama Avogav de Namelav Dwabanon, Khan, Kavan, he does use the term. Kavan Shumilsa de Vidal Gluye Neman. I think that's what the Shach is saying also, unless I'm misunderstood the Shach, but the Bir Agro is certainly saying that. Since it's a Milsa Vidal Gluye, we can rely on him because it's not going to say something's not true and you can find out. That's the Bir Hagro. The Plesi, or the Bir Eibishitz, has a little bit of a different take. Okay. He's bothered. He quotes, this is in Sukkot and Beis in the Plesi. Since Arachas Sukkot and Beis 14, he tells you to take a look in the Shach, why we believe him, what about the Gemara, and so on. He quotes it from his Adeshim we mentioned, and he says, the Shach says, doesn't necessarily fit in with the words with the, you know, with the Gemara. Anyway, he says, he can't about five lines down to it. Adayin kosher eich neman, it's going to be tumo. Okay. And, okay. So let's go. You can read the rest of the question that he asked, but with the answer, he says in the second paragraph there towards the bottom of the page in source 14, over guf hakusha nili pashit. Ki vadai av shana matirin. He says as follows. And Moshe, your question will come to light in a way here, but he says as follows. Vadai imacharka chitamena Yisrael, v'yimtza botam iser, pshita de oser. If the goy says, no, there's no non-kosher flavor, no fish flavor in this, fish that got mixed up with the meat. And now, oh, okay, good. So I'm going to eat it. And as soon as you take a bite, you realize, or else I'm using the word bite loosely now, we'll see in a second. As soon as you take a bite, you realize, oh, wait a minute, there is flavor. Instead of vadai, it's usher. We're not going to say, oh, it remains mutter. After all, the goy, you taste it and see that there is a flavor, the vadai, it's usher. You ask, it's too late. Right? So 1 second. So he says, the kusi shik every dvar. Obviously, the guy lied. Or just, whatever, an idiot to say he doesn't know the taste and so on. But he says, so what does it mean? Lo higish tam harei kedai lahatir. So then if the guy didn't taste it, why do we let him, the Jew, eat it in the first place? What do you mean? Okay, like you said before, Moshe, it's too late. Okay? He says, the altima yisisrael samkin ala kol afilo ena umun. Because when it comes to a Jew, we rely. Once I eat it and I taka see he was telling the truth, now I can continue to eat it, or the rest of my family, or the rest of the people can eat it, because they're not relying on the goy, they're relying on me. Okay? Now that's step one. We'll have to get to step two, but that's what the place is saying. In other words, once the goy says, no, there's no fish flavor in this meat, all right, so now I taste it and I taka, there's no flavor, good. So now the rest of now my subsequent bites, or the bites of the people at my table, and so on. They're all not relying on the goy; they're relying on me. In Cain, Kol Hacharod, the whole issue is only regarding to, says the Plesi, Shana Matzrikin Kfele Kedei Lahatir Lehat Imo Yisrael. Not a bite, but a taste. Lat Imo Yisrael.
So that, okay, that's Ula, Imo.
The Ulai also because Tami Shom Tchila Tami Surah. Aye, what do you mean? But maybe it's also now the Jew ate something usher. So he quotes a tshuva from the Rivash, which I printed Resh Peches. Okay, that's only drabonon. Kaven dehurak teima be'alma. Teima doesn't mean I said I use the word bite loosely. Teima means tongue tasting. I put it on my tongue. I didn't even swallow it. Okay, that's okay. That's only you're not allowed to do that with non kosher food, but that's only drabonon. So therefore, Shapu Yishra Yeshlis Macha Akum Alo Kashamidi. Bein Tzorch L'chol Divrayim Barichas. You don't need all the Arichas of the other Achonim and Poskim we saw. Okay? That's the, in other words, the Akum tastes it. Okay? What his taste and his decision or his, report, Misir Levitumo, knocks it down now to an Isid Rabbanan that at least I can be towing. Okay, so I'm towing it. That's only also drabbanon, and the mesich v'tumo we said is good enough by a drabbanon. So if the goy says mesich v'tumo, that allows me to taste it because that took care of the issur drabbanon. But 1 second. But now, so the goy is mesich v'tumo kind of lowers the matter to a drabbanon matter with regards to tima. Okay, then, so I taste it. And if I take it, taste it, it's okay. Now they're relying on me. And now we can eat it normally. Yeah.
No, I was just confirming that. The fact that that the guy said it's fine, that knocks it down already.
Right, right. He said it's fine. So now, because Goy Mesifli
Tumo. Even if it is an Isra D'Oraisa, so the fact
that he knocks it down to a Drabon with regards to Tima. To taste right. it.
Because Tima is only the Isra we're talking about is D'Oraisa, obviously.
Right. Well, right. The case is D'Oraisa. So I can't chew it and swallow it based on his. Right. But Tima Ba'alma, that's what the Yonah Sam writes. Tima Ba'alma, just called tongue tasting, that's different. Okay, that's only Nisr Drabonim. And by Nisr Drabonim, Nisr Vitumo, Goy Mesifli Zminamon. That's clear from that Gemara. So then there's no problem. That's what he says. The Rivar Shachub, I printed Reish Pechas, you can take a look. He says a person was Shari Batinus. Okay, he was fasting. So can he taste something? He put something in his tongue, you know, to taste something. So he has a lotion of Shari Batinus, Achila Kabbalah, Timalo Kabbalah, right? The difference whether your tinus is not to eat, but Tima is okay. It's not to. All right, anyway, that's the Rivar that he was talking about in that Shuma Reish Pechas. Okay. Others disagree that the Prima Gadim is not happy with this placing in Sifsei Das on the Shach here in the Arsim and Sadi Chesim Cotton Bays. He tied it against the placing. Okay. It's not so posh that everybody agrees that it's a Tima's by itself. Okay. He says, he quotes the Rambam, and the Rambam allows what's called Liton Veliflo to taste and spit it out. Okay, but he says that won't work for detecting tam. Because what's mutter, what's only also drabon and the son is timo plate, lifla, liton veliflo. I'm saying it outside what he says. You look a little more in the second paragraph. First, he quotes the shach and so on, but he mentions kosher shach in the second paragraph of 16. Talon chaber kasha and so on. He writes to the tam. He's very shlomo in the second line of the second paragraph 16. The teima lahavchim tam iser binan tome ubo toim ubo leah. In order to really determine with his actual flavor, you can't just tongue taste and spit it out. That won't work. That won't be enough of a test to determine whether flavor has been absorbed or not. You need toim ubo leah. Okay? And that's not going to be allowed, even if it's less than a kazayas, but chotzi shoras for a Torah and so on. Anyway, the Prima Gadim does not love this. Look in the second paragraph. Kosov Shach al Mechaber Kasha Misifalov Sev Beis Ube Kof Reish Vav stands for Kresu Placey. That's what he's talking about, the Placey. Kof Reish Vav is a Kresu Placey. Anyway, so he has argued against the Placey is that the Heter of Tima on the Darbonon level and so on is only the lit on the lift float, but in order to take it, you know, you need more of a tongue taste would not be enough. You know, to ascertain properly the presence of flavor from something else, and therefore he doesn't think it's enough, and therefore he rejects that approach. Similarly, the Piskei
Tshuva. Does he bring raya for that?
He brought a raya for Ramba. Well, oh, I mean, from they brought a raya that's what Tom played. Does he bring a raya that's not enough? I don't think so. I don't think he says.
I mean, nowadays, like they have, you know, the people who are into all the fancy wines, they go to wine tastings.
And they swirl it around, spit it out.
Because they don't want to get drunk.
Right, they swirl it around and spit it out.
Somehow I imagine that if it affected the taste, you know, that
it wouldn't work. It's a good horror. It's a good horror, the wine tasting. Maybe here it's talking about a comfort, you know, because you're talking about a combination of flavors, but it's a good horror. The Piskei Tshuva by us here in Sipat Aleph, the only Arsim in Sadiqa 17. He talks about it talks about mora. Mora is, remember, she has a gallbladder. Okay. The gallbladder. So the gallbladder is a bitter flavor. Okay. So talking about if there's a problem with the gallbladder, the gallbladder is not there. So it becomes a trepha, right? Because it's missing an organ. Okay. But sometimes it's very small. It's next to the liver. So it gets absorbed into the liver. So then when the Mechaber says that you can cut the liver and taste it with your tongue, okay, you can taste it with your tongue and see, does Mara, by definition, is Mara, is a bitter flavor, the gallbladder is a bitter flavor, that's a good taste. By the way, the Piskei Tshuva suggests that that's exceptional to the situation. That's only, in general, it's dafka by that case that we allow this and not by other things, okay, and not by all Issur D'Rabbanan. No, the chiddush of the place he was that since only dealing with Rabbanon anyways, since we're only dealing with the Darbonin anyways, so tasting is okay. And the Piskei Tshuva challenges out that's not true. By other issues, the Darbonin, even tasting is not allowed, even tongue tasting. But by the case of the gallbladder, yeah, that's a case where it is allowed. Okay, but he said there are different rules. Anyway, that's what I'm going to mention. I just want to do a little vayter if I can, in a few more minutes. What is the interplay? We'll just see what some of the Rishonim say. Four shitas, and then we'll finish up for today. It shouldn't take long. So another 5 minutes, okay? Another 5-10 minutes, okay? So we'll do Anaf Beis. So the question is now: what is the next issue? Okay, anyway, that's the basics of Timas Kfela. And the question of how we can rely on the Goy, view of that Gemara and Baba Kama, sort of different approaches. But getting back now, it's really a continuation. Okay. Do Dafka need a Kfela? All right. And how does Kfela interact with, we'll see that tomorrow. How does Kfela interact with Shishim? But do you need Dafka Kfela? So again, it turns out really, if you look now carefully at these next couple of sources, there are four different Shitas in the Rishonim. Okay. Rashi, I'm going to say the Rashi, agree to Rashi. Rashi says you cannot rely on Stamagoy, maybe because he doesn't know flavors well, whatever it may be. You have to have a Kfela, and that's the Mesich V'Tumo. That was Rashi. Okay. Rashba, we already saw, but I want to print in source 18. Tshuva Sarashba, Chelek Aleph, Simon Tov Tzarivov. Okay. Masha Kosev, Kfela, Shinul Chayosam, Yushu, Gedibim, Mishome, Dedavka, Kfela, Uba Mesich V'Tumo, right? You need both. That's Rashi. What's the din? So I said, Rashba answers, Ani Kvar Amarti. We saw that before in the Rosh Bayis Aruch by Sal Char Al, the end of source 9. Rashba himself says, I already said, Yesh Locho Shi Devrayim. I already said we should be choshish for those shitas. You need both Kvela and Mesich V'tumo, but Alarayas Machrichos, Yesh, the Kvela Lav Dafka. Like he brought over there, I have Rayas that it doesn't have to be a Kvela, okay? And like, well, I brought one of the riots. It doesn't have to be a Kfela coin. That's how we assume. Not like the Prima Gorim said in the Rosh Yosef on Rashi. But we, the assumption of the Gemara, the basic of the Gemara is you don't need a coin as a Kfela. Okay. And he brings a riot from Ravo, separates Kfela and Tam, and so on and so forth. Okay. And then he says even further that it's better to have a non-Kfela because you want Tam on Nigos and Klal B'nei Adam. Okay. And the only reason we're about Kfela because he made not to tell the truth and so on. And they quote, I forgot to print, but there's a Tshuvas Harivosh. It's in Tuf Lamed Gimel, okay? Where again, he also says, Mesich V'tum is Mutter, even by a regular guy. In other words, you need either Mesich V'tumah or you need or an Uman, you know, a Kfela. So that's Shita number two, which was the Rashba. Those are the two Shitas we saw before. If you look in Source 19, the Ran on the Rif here in Chulan, Daf Lamed Dal Amad Aleph, the pages of the Rif, Dimim Asol Min Bimino, the Ran has kind of a middle opinion. He says, Umidarmina and Samchina Kfela, Mashma the Kfela Dafka. Sounds like you really do need a Kfela. Okay, but he's Mechalik between, just a moment. The Lesik with also going to let me shum Dobicham Shakar. I'll call Hechad of Kfela Lomer Nafsha. The cave of the Mishul Lomer Nafsha, Lav Dafna Silvi Tumo, which is because of Rashi. So he quotes the Shitas and he says, he says, it's Dafka gotta be an Uman, but Lav Dafka Mesich V'tumo. Okay. And he says, you can't rely on a regular guy. Okay. You can't rely on a regular guy, even if he is Mesich V'tumo, because him, maybe he would Dafka need a Kfela. So again, Rashi said, you need both Kfela and Mesich V'tumo. The Rashba says either or. Okay. And the Ran says it really has to be a Kfela. Okay, it can't be, it doesn't have to be Mesich V'tumo, but it has to be a Kfela. You can't rely on a regular Goy, even if he is Mesich V'tumo, because maybe it won't be precise and so on. So that's the Ran. Okay, so that's, I don't know, a middle position, but that's the Ran rights. Okay, and the Ritva, by the way, agrees. The Ritva and the Chidushim, Tzadi Taman Alf and Chulun, Divas, Samchina, a Kfela. All right. Pirish al nachtom goyish uboki b'tamim. You have the person who has expertise in flavors. Benir and drum de lo be'inishi tom l'fitumo. It doesn't have to be simply tumo. And chayin dasu in the tam. So that's the third shita. So again, Robert again, I get clear. Rashi says you need both. Rashbo says either or. The Ran and the Ritva and the tam, it's quoted by the Ritva, all say there has to be dafka a kfela. Dafka kfela. Okay. The broadest opinion is the Rambam. Take a look at Hilchos Macholos Asuras Perak Tezvav Halacha Lamed 21. The Rambam Right, as follows. Take a look. Hoya boser b'cholim. Oh, yayin nesek v'yayin arlo kila karam shenof ledvash. Whatever the mixture is. Oh, b'sar shkotzer v'mosim shviz bashalam ayerik. Whatever the tarobis is. U'kiyotzer v'hem. Toim oson ha'akum v'somchin alpiv. A guy tasted and you can rely on him. Im omar ein botam. Oshom yesh botam. U'mitam ra. Or it is flavor, but it's a tam of gam. It's a different issue, but same idea. Hakol mutter. Notice that the Rambam does not mention Kfela, and it does not mention Mesil Vitumo. The Rambam says all you need is a goy, and it doesn't have to be Mesil Vitumo, and it doesn't have to be a Kfela. So there you have, Rabosai, four shitas, okay, in this matter. If you look in the tour, here in our Simon Tzadiches, Dina Atobi Vitumo, and so on, he quotes the Gemara, and he quotes the Rashba, that it has to be one or the other. And he quotes others, including Adoni Ovar Rash, who says, Yesh Misha Osa Asher Umar Umar Sikh Vitumo. The Beis Yosef, Diva Masel Kosev Rashbo in 23, elaborates further. He quotes some of the other shitas. Again, we don't have to read everything. He quotes the Rush, and he quotes the Tur didn't bring the Ran. But he quotes the Ran that you dafka have to have a trailer. Again, you should read through the Beis Yosef. And he says in the third line of the next page, with Diva Harambam Nira, Dal Kogoi something. From the Rambam, that we just saw. Again, it was a perik tesvav hilchos machalos vus halach alhamid. According to the Rambam, kol goy somkin afagav sheino kfeila. Even if he's not an expert, okay. Rambam didn't mention nachdom and venirish is over the v'kelat kama tamud alav dafka. Aye, so why did the Gemara mention kfeila altogether? Lav dafka kfeila, lav dafka. Yeah, that too. Probably it's a good, you know, maybe with Rambam say it makes sense to ask a guy who knows, has a discerning palate, you know. But the lav dafka kfeila, the Gemara is lav dafka, okay. Yes, yeah, so it's end. Nira Lee at the end, he writes, Shema Acha Sharamba Makel Dover, Makel Dover, Yeshlismoch, Al Svaras Hatosa, Ashbabaran, the Lom Matsuka, Mikfela, Shumasik with Tumo. That certainly you don't have to insist that the Kfela has to be Mesik with Tumo. You don't even need a Kfela. So if you have a Kfela, certainly you can rely on him and so on. Ubenochi, the Lab Kfela. And if it's a Nochi Stam, not a Kfela, Samchina Rama Ashbo, the Shorobay. Again, you have the Rama and the Rashbo. The Rashbo says you don't need you don't need a kvel, simply tumo. So you can put the, you know, they can basically mix and match. That's what you can read through that base shows and kind of mix and match a different sheet is, and come up with a lot of coolers. Okay. But he writes, Barashbo, the Shor Barosh, the Omiyo Nirish, the Tsoksha, simply tumo, came to lock fail. But then at the end, he says, maybe should be simply tumo. We look in the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Tzadiches, Sivala Bayos, 24, Isur, Shinis Arab, the Heter, Min, Bishen, Omino, Kigon, Chalev. Chalev, it's not Chalev, Chalev. She's Arbe Bosser, Yitamenu Nochrim, Nochri. Im Omer Shane Botam Cholov, or Shoisho Tamela Shupoga Mutter, who shall a sofa a spear find that's a din nos in Tam of Gam, but Zorach Shalo Yeda, Shasomkin Olo. So he says it can be any guy, okay, he says it can be any guy, but Zorach Shalo Yeda, Shasomkin Olo. Don't know, they should not know, they're relying on him. Aloha, but meaning it's Mesivik Tumo. Shachet Zikot and Beis writes with Tzorach Shalom Olav. With Yosek Posek Avo Ovikom Lav Kfela. Okay, if he's not a Kfela, Samchina Mesivik Tumo. Now Kfela Samchina Filo Ein Mesivik Tumo. Okay, but he says that if it's a Kfela, then he doesn't. Then he can know. Didn't say that in the Shulchan Aruch. But the Shachet Zikot and Beis takes that shita, which is the other shita of the Rashba, that if it is a Kfela. Another Rishonim, if it is a Kfela, then you can lie even simply Tumo, because he's not going to want to ruin his reputation. And the Bihar Groh, we'll finish with this, Bihar Groh in 26, in Simchat and Hay, says the Shulchan Aruch, basically like the Rashba, Tzorech Iyun Lama Ishmit Kfela. It says a little strange that the Shulchan Aruch didn't mention Kfela at all over here. And he says, Baalach Mederech HaRambam, he said it's based on that Rambam, the Kfela's Lav Davka. Okay, as long as the person can take taste the flavor and so on, and we had as far even why to say that in a certain sense, a non-kvela might even be better because it means the average person can or cannot discern this particular flavor. Okay, so that's the sheet as it appears in the Shulchan Aruch, and Bez Hashem will go on about kvela. Now that we understand we rely on the kvela, so Bez Hashem tomorrow will continue about, you know, where does shishim fit into the mix with the kvela? Can it be? Will we rely on the kfeila even if it's less than shishim? Will we require a kfeila if it's more than shishim? That we'll see Bez Hashem tomorrow. We'll stop over here. Okay.
Gabby.
Okay.